Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Several people sent me a story knowing I would be interested because I've covered this topic in Michigan, but it's happening elsewhere. And it's one of these things that when people hear about it, they get shocked. So Kelvin, Rob, and Mark, thanks for sending the story. We're talking about home equity theft. And that is when you fall behind in your property taxes. The municipality in some states can take your property and sell it at auction to pay those taxes. And in some states, the leftover money, they just get to keep. So a famous example in Michigan, for instance, a guy had his house, he had his property, and he fell behind on his taxes by $8. And it appeared to be an oversight. They sold his property. They kept $8 themselves to pay the taxes. And then they just kept the rest of the money. So some people call that home equity theft. And the Michigan Supreme Court recently struck down the law in Michigan that allowed that to happen. It took quite some time and a lot of wrangling. But now the politicians here are panicking because they were counting on having that money that they raised every year by doing that. So I did a video not too long ago about how the officials were turning on each other after this. I'll put a link in the video description below. Because now, how are they going to make up that shortfall? So other states do this. Not all of them, but there are other states that do this. So the story I've got today is from pacificlegal.org about a situation in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of the states that still allows home equity theft by the municipality. And their headline is, "A family's loss is a private company's windfall in state's home equity theft scheme." They tell the story about Mark and Neil. The family's name is Musacchio. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. They treasure their deep family roots in Easton, Massachusetts, where they still live in their childhood home with Mark's wife, a stepdaughter, and two grandchildren. Now, they had a bunch of financial hardship and medical troubles and things of that nature going back 5 or 6 years. And they're having a hard time keeping up with their property tax bills. So in 2016, the town of Easton took their home worth $276,000 and gave it to a company called Talledge Lincoln LLC, a private lien holder who bought the tax lien on the home for $4,300. In 2019, the Musacchios owed less than $30,000 in total taxes, interest, and costs, yet the state allowed the town to take the brothers' remaining $246,000 of equity in their family home and give it to Talledge. So they're now fighting back against this theft of home equity. And this is a slightly different way than how it worked in Michigan. In Michigan, this is all done by the state or the municipality, the government. So the municipality, like the county, would oversee these auctions where they'd seize the property, they'd auction it off, and then they'd just keep the money. So the brothers here, their mother passed away in 2006, and they took ownership of their childhood home. And they lived there, like I said, with an extended family. So both brothers are working class earners, and starting in 2013, financial hardship left them struggling to pay their property taxes. They managed to pay off that year's taxes, plus the interest and costs in 2014. But there, the problems began to snowball due to a series of family medical troubles. When they missed their 2016 taxes, the town of Easton initiated a tax taking, meaning the debt went on the books and began accruing 16% annual interest, along with subsequent tax bills and costs. 7 months later, the town sold the tax lien to Talledge Lincoln LLC for $4,355. That's the amount that the Musacchios owed the town. Now, Talledge is a private investment company that specializes in buying property tax debts and either collecting payments from homeowners at generous interest rates, or if owners cannot pay, taking ownership of the property and selling it for massive profits. They started the foreclosure process just 1 month after buying the tax lien, and they paid the subsequent tax bills. And although the company sent a notice of the foreclosure action, foreclosure notices are consistently written in dense legalese that few people could understand. Neither Mark nor Neil were aware that they were on the verge of losing their home. And also, there's a lot of antiquated things in the system. It's not uncommon that, for instance, in Michigan, you can put someone on notice of something by nailing it to the courthouse notice board or, pinning it there. So that's one of the ways of notice. That's not usually the only way, but it's always bizarre when you walk into a courthouse, go over to the bulletin board and look at all the things that are tacked there. And they're tacked there because somebody said, "Well, I can't find these people. Can I tack it to the bulletin board downstairs and we'll call that good?" And that might often be part of the service to put someone on notice. In 2019, the Massachusetts Land Court foreclosed on the lien and gave absolute title to Talage, that's the investment company. Because the property was valued at $276,000 and the man's debt had grown to roughly $30,000 in taxes, interest, and costs, the land court effectively handed the company the home and more than $245,000 in equity. Now, a home's equity is just as much property as a home itself and cannot be taken by government without just compensation, at least according to the Constitution. So Pacific Legal is pointing out that these people are not alone. The Massachusetts tax foreclosure system is particularly egregious and a recipe for cronyism because it regularly grants massive windfalls to private lien holders. The average foreclosed property value exceeds the average tax debt by a ratio of 50 to 1. In just 1 year, municipalities and private investors stole over $56 million in property equity from Massachusetts residents. So in November of 2020, Talage sent a realtor to the men's home with a generous offer to let them buy their home back for $138,000. Now, they're both unemployed because of COVID, and even if they could afford to take out a loan and buy the house back, they'd still be losing $100,000 of the home's equity that they had at one point in time. Now, represented free of charge by Pacific Legal Foundation, the men are fighting back with a lawsuit challenging the state's home equity theft system that preys on its most vulnerable members. Massachusetts is the latest state in PLF's ongoing work to defeat home equity theft across the country. And like I said, this was the norm in Michigan up until just this past year, late last year. The Michigan Supreme Court said this is wrong. And what was crazy about it, I mentioned before, when the law got passed, many of us attorneys and people in the legal field looked at the law and said, that's got to be illegal. But the only way you can get a law overturned like that is either, number one, the legislature can do it on their own, which they're not going to do because it generates money. So it's got to go through the court system. And so it takes someone who's been in that situation or facing a situation to file a lawsuit and take the legal action and go all the way up. Now, I don't know why it took that long to get that law in front of the Michigan Supreme Court. And you'd be surprised. Quite often, when somebody is taking something like that up, and somebody realizes, wait, this makes it to the Michigan Supreme Court, it's going to cause us to lose a stream of income, a municipality might be willing to settle the case. So I suspect that some of the cases that were on track to get it overturned were settled. And here's the thing. Let's suppose that you lost your house or you're facing losing your house. You filed a legal action to protect your house. You're working it through the system. And you're thinking to yourself, if I make it to the Michigan Supreme Court years from now, I can get this law struck down. And they approach you now and say, hey, guess what? We decided to drop the action. You know, just go your own way. We'll write it off, whatever we're going to do. We'll resolve it. You get to keep your house. I wouldn't blame you for saying, I'm going to keep my house. Because your number one job is to keep your house. Your number two job is to make good case law. Attorneys often think, hey, I'd love to make good case law. But we are often faced with clients who go, that's great. I'd rather just keep my house. And I don't blame them. I've had a client of mine who had a case where I knew if it went up on appeal, we could make good case law. And my client goes, yeah, but can I just settle it now? And I'm like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. So that's one of the things I get asked about a lot is, you know, when you hear about the cases that make it to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, the big ones. And people say, wow, you know, that case made it up there. You have to understand how many hurdles they had to jump to get there. And you got to have just the right case. It's got to be postured just right. You got to have a sympathetic client. Everything's got to work out. And then, of course, it's got to be appealed so many times to make it that far. And quite often, you'd be amazed how many times this happens, a case is on the edge of going that one last step, about to step out of the stage, and somebody pulls them aside and goes, yeah, we'll settle. And they do it all the time. So amazingly, the case in Michigan got the law thrown out. There are now legal actions being brought for people to recover the money they lost in years past by this law. And the state is scrambling. The various municipalities are scrambling, trying to figure out how to pay the money back, because they're going to have to. And they're also dragging their feet and doing it. And some municipalities have actually said, we're not going to refund one penny until a court orders us to. And so people are filing lawsuits. And it's a waste of legal resources, a waste of judicial resources, But a lot of that money will get paid back. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this. This, again, it's like civil asset forfeiture. Once people hear about this, they go, that's crazy. That's crazy. And every now and then when I do stories about this, someone's bound to say, these guys knew they owed their taxes. Why did they just pay their taxes? Well, a couple things. One of which is they had a lot of problems, health problems, medical problems. When you're worried about your life or the life of a family member, that can be distracting. Okay. But number two, most people don't think that if I get behind in my property taxes, I'm going to lose my house and all the equity I have in it. And that is just something we need to get the word out about. So, like I said, Massachusetts is one of the states. Michigan was one of the states. But you need to find out. And obviously, if you get sent a notice saying you've got a late overdue tax bill, you should understand, of course, that that can become a lien against the property. And they can foreclose on the lien. It's just a question of what happens to you when they foreclose on the lien. It looks like these guys might have been able to refinance their house maybe and use it to pay some of the back taxes. I don't know. But, you know, I wasn't there. But it simply looks like these guys did get short end of it. And that's the scary part. So they auction your house, they pay themselves the back taxes, they pay themselves the cost of the auction, and they pocket the proceeds. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I'm rooting for these guys the way I was rooting for the people in Michigan. A family's loss is a private company's windfall in the state's home equity theft scheme in Massachusetts. PacificLegal.org published the story and also is the one representing these guys. Kelvin, Rob, and Mark sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. I'll always talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Restrictor plates are of the devil.